It's August 4th, 2023, 19:07 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you. Carl Jung said, midlife is the time to let go of an overdominant ego and to contemplate the deeper significance of human existence. Sun Tzu said, if he sends reinforcements everywhere, he will be weak everywhere. And Mark Twain said, life is short. Break the rules. Forgive quickly. Kiss slowly. Love truly. Laugh uncontrollably and never regret anything that makes you smile. Our song for today is from 1981, and the chart for 81 and 82 showed that this song was in Canada and the U.S. a top 10 hit, but apparently it was also a top 10 around the world in that particular time period. But the most amazing thing about this song is that there's a chart in 2007 where it was number 4 in Ireland, and it was, you know, it charted in the UK also in that year and in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, and 2012. But in 2010, notably, it also charted in the Netherlands at 68 and in Sweden is number 25. But this song, the chart keeps going. 2013, it charted in Austria at number 70. In 2015, it charted in Sweden at 96. In 2017, 18, 21, and 22, and 23. It all of those years, that is, had this song on some chart somewhere. This song has a longevity that is hard to compare with any other song. It's by Journey. This is Steve Perry singing Don't Stop Believin'.
Smell wine and cheap perfume.
so. It is a rather well-known song, but people may not know that it was originally produced at that time, so many years ago. So I think it's useful to point that out. Where are we here? I'm trying to get... Oh, it's going... Okay. I'll have to drag this somehow. There we go. Carefully, carefully, carefully. Here we go, here we go. Okay. Just realized I didn't have time to prepare the article. I think we're on 310. Is that right? Yes. Right. So this is a long paragraph. We might have to break it up, but maybe not, because we're not going to do numbers today. And Born and Raised, Chapter 3, Paragraph 10. Objectivity in science would surely tell us that there is no astrologically optimal time for someone's birth. However, the Magi of Jesus' day believed in astrology. So it may have significance. It is beyond the scope of our present article. If they believed it, then it might have some relevance to our determining what they would have done. Wow. The humidity in here was very low before I shut off the dehumidifier. I think it's better now, but it's still very dry. We haven't got a lot of rain recently either. It is beyond the scope of our present article, but the planets Saturn and Jupiter in the constellation Aries, as scholars have noted in 3.9 above, as we noted in 3.9 above specifically, are connected to Jehovah, the Messiah, and the Jewish nation of Israel. Three different entities. When we look for conjunctions of Saturn and Jupiter in conjunction with the moon, we see that from BCE 7 to 6, there are multiple conjunctions of these three objects with each other in the constellation Aries, very much. Solex 12.00, Celestia 1.6.1, and Sky Chart 3 Demo, which are three astronomical programs, all show these phenomena, although Solex 12.00 is the only one of these three that I believe to be very accurate. On March 20th of BCE 6, Jupiter is occulted by the moon in Aries, as shown by all three of these programs. So it might be common for Jupiter to be eclipsed by the moon, but not always in Aries. And at this time, Jupiter is less than one half the lunar radius from the moon's center. And this is using Solex from Jerusalem and the Persian Gulf, from both of those places. If visible, it could be observed after sunset, that is Jupiter, near the western horizon by someone looking from the east. Because we know that the astronomer said they saw his star in the east, right? Which could mean when they were in the east. This is even more rare in that it is just after a new moon that morning. So that the moon is blackened would occult Jupiter with the moon's darkness, which is like Jupiter flickering and vanishing when in the west sky. This would relate to the conception of Jesus when the heavenly Jesus went from heaven into the womb of Mary. Symbolic representation there. On April 17th, a lesser occultation occurred in Aries, this during daylight, which was invisible. But an heliacal rising of Jupiter, which means at dawn, rising together, Jupiter with the moon earlier that day in Aries on the east horizon at dawn would be easily visible because the sun had not achieved a high altitude yet and could have been something seen by the astrologers. So the moon moves much quicker than Jupiter does through the sky. So in the morning, they could be separate, and then later in the day, Jupiter could be occulted by the moon. 9 months later, December 19th, BCE 6, in Aries, you know that December 19th is close to the 25th of December, the moon passes December 19th, BCE 6, close to Jupiter again, within 2.25 degrees, or less than 5 lunar diameters, and over it, near the western horizon again, but this time about 3 a.m. as Saturn begins to go below the horizon in Pisces. At this point, the conjunctions of Jupiter with Saturn, of which there were three in BCE 7, are also finished. This indicates the birth of the Messiah in December BCE 6, as is taught by some scholars, as to the year, and by tradition, as to the month, an event heralded earlier by Jupiter as Messiah, joining with Saturn, Jehovah. The difference is that in BCE 6, the conjunctions do find Jupiter with the moon in Aries. Which signals the king of the Jews to the astrologers, one now born. After December BCE 6, Saturn and Jupiter continue as usual, having conjunctions with the moon, since all planetary orbits lie in roughly the same plane. But by February 10th of BCE 5, just 53 days after December 19 BCE 6, Jupiter is no longer seen in Aries, but has gone into Taurus. So there we have it. That's fascinating because it suggests that the birth of Jesus must have occurred sometime evidently after December 19th and before February 10th of BCE 5. So, now, while I did not prepare this today, I did read it yesterday, while I was preparing 3-9, so I was prepared enough. Our proverb for today, Ecclesiastes 12 and 5, also they have become afraid merely at what is high, and there are terrors in the way, and the almond tree carries blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along, and the caperberry bursts, because man is walking to his long-lasting house, and the wailers have marched around in the street. And when I say that the birth of Jesus must have been between those dates, it's not a requirement, but it's something suggested by those astronomical correlations, which we can study nowadays, and which would have been possibly visible, very probably visible, or at least very possibly, to those astrologers, the Magi. And so the fact that we have a correlation of any kind close to the traditional date of Jesus, which is December 25th, is extremely significant, I would say, at least to a believer. And to someone who has been following the article, it doesn't mean there's any obligation to believe it. We're not saying that. 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love, yet keep zealously seeking the spiritual gifts, but preferably that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one listens, but he speaks sacred secrets by the Spirit. However, he that prophesies upbuilds and encourages and consoles men by his speech. He that speaks in a tongue upbuilds himself, but he that prophesies upbuilds a congregation. Now I would like for all of you to speak in tongues, but I prefer that you prophesy. Indeed, he that prophesies is greater than he that speaks in tongues, unless in fact he translates, that the congregation may receive upbuilding. But at this time, brothers, if I should come speaking to you in tongues, what good would I do you unless I spoke to you either with a revelation or with knowledge or with a prophecy or with a teaching? As it is, the inanimate things give off sound, whether a flute or a harp, unless it makes an interval to the tones. How will it be known what is being played on the flute or on the harp? In other words, if you just go do, 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 do over and over again on an instrument, it doesn't make for any kind of melody or message, although it can be useful in the creation of music to have one thread or one voice that does that. It's not going to communicate a message through the melody unless there's an interval to the tones, such as do me so, do me so. My voice is a little squeaky, isn't it? For truly, if the trumpet sounds an indistinct call, who will get ready for battle? In the same way also, unless you through the tongue utter speech easily understood, how will it be known what is being spoken? You will, in fact, be speaking into the air. It may be that there are so many kinds of speech sounds in the world, and yet no kind is without meaning. Now, Paul's not saying that I can't make a recording of a song with a squeaky voice and use the squeaky voice to my advantage in the song to convey some emotion or something. Paul's not saying that at all. If then I do not understand the force of the speech sound, he says, and he goes on, I shall be a foreigner to the one speaking, and the one speaking will be a foreigner to me. He's talking about understanding the sound. So also you yourselves, since you are zealously desirous of gifts of the Spirit, seek to abound in them for the upbuilding of the congregation. Therefore, let the one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may translate. I lost my place. For if I am praying in a tongue, it is my gift of the Spirit that is praying, but my mind is unfruitful. What is to be done then? I will pray with the gift of the Spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing praise with the gift of the Spirit, but I will also sing praise with my mind. Otherwise, if you offer praise with the gift of the Spirit, how will the man occupying the seat of the ordinary person say amen to your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? True, you give thanks in a fine way, but the other man is not being built up. I thank God I speak in more tongues than all of you do. Nevertheless, in a congregation, I would rather speak five words with my mind, that I might also instruct others orally, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not become young children in powers of understanding, but be babes as to badness, yet become full grown in powers of understanding. In the law it is written, with the tongues of foreigners and with the lips of strangers I will speak to this people. And yet not even then will they give heed to me, says Jehovah. Consequently, tongues are for a sign, not to the believers, but to the unbelievers. Whereas prophesying is not for the unbelievers, but for the believers. Therefore, if the whole congregation comes together to one place and they all speak in tongues, but ordinary people or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are mad? But if you are all prophesying and any unbeliever or ordinary person comes in, he is then reproved by them all. He is closely examined by all. The secrets of his heart become manifest, so that he will fall upon his face and worship God, declaring, God is really among you. My tooth is throbbing now. What is to be done then, brothers? When you come together, one has a psalm, another has a teaching, another has a revelation, another has a tongue, another has an interpretation. Let all things take place for upbuilding. And if someone speaks in a tongue, let it be limited to two or three at the most, but end in turns. And let someone translate. But if there is no translator, let him keep silent in the congregation and speak to himself and God. Further, let two or three prophets speak and let the others discern the meaning. But if there is a revelation to another one while sitting there, let the first one keep silent. Silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all be encouraged. And gifts of the spirit of the prophets are to be controlled by the prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the congregations of the holy ones, that the women keep silent in the congregations, for it is not permitted for them to speak. But let them be in subjection, even as the law says. If then they want to learn something, let them question their own husbands at home. For it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in a congregation. Now we know women teach Bible studies. They are permitted to speak, so Paul is not talking about that. He's talking about giving a talk, a public talk, or something of that nature. What? Was it from you that the word of God came forth, or was it only as far as you that it reached? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or gifted with the Spirit, let him acknowledge the things I am writing to you, because they are the Lord's commandments. But if anyone is ignorant, he continues ignorant. Consequently, my brothers, keep zealously seeking the prophesying, and yet do not forbid the speaking in tongues. But let all things take place decently and by arrangement. That's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So, we did all that. We don't have anything to do in Numbers because I just noticed that the numbers no longer line up as of the beginning of the month. So we don't need to do that until, for Numbers 35, that is, until the 8th of the month. So we can talk about other things until then. One of which is my tooth. It's going to manifest possibly more and more. So I need a root canal. There's no question. Or at least I believe it. And I believe my dentist believes it too. And her team believes it. So it would be wonderful if we could get an endodontist to believe it, despite the standard tests failing to reveal it, according to the way that the training is given to endodontists. And I just have something to say about that with regard to all professions, really, that at some point we all have to deviate from our training in order to become mature, because the training was there to keep you on track in the initial phase of your career. But at some point you have to go your own way and make decisions based on facts that are not necessarily the same ones used in your training. And this is how a practitioner of any kind becomes mature, is by leaving the training at some point and going beyond the training, in other words, going with skill beyond what they were given at the beginning of their career during their period of training. It's just a necessity that all practitioners must leave their training at some point in order to progress. It's just a simple necessity. So, we have 6 minutes remaining. What else is there to talk about? I know that it just would, there's one more thing at least to do with the endodontist in particular. If I can't find an endodontist who's willing to perform a root canal, then I'm faced with either trying to get somebody who's less proficient, perhaps, or somebody who is proficient but is not specializing in that particular thing, such as my dentist, or someone such as my dentist who hasn't performed such a procedure for many years, which would not be the preferred way necessarily, although I would think that if she's willing to do it, then that means she's prepared. But, you know, the other option would be to pull the tooth, which is not the best option usually. And that could be done also without as much expertise, in fact, as a root canal. But even that requires expertise so as not to damage the surrounding teeth. In this case, the tooth on the other side, on the inside, the mesial side. But, I mean, people wiggle the tooth. I think people who do extractions wiggle the tooth before they try to pull it out. So they use their instruments to do that. But the bone may be fragile, so you have to be careful with that. But there's a ligament there in the tooth, and the ligament is between the tooth and the bone, and it's what keeps the tooth tight in the socket. So if you wiggle the tooth gently, you can perhaps loosen the ligament a little bit, or maybe even more than a little bit, and assist the extraction of the tooth by doing that. But we don't want to pull the tooth, ideally. I mean, it's not the best option because it has more future complications with the movement of the teeth into the vacant place and, the lack of chewing on that existing tooth, or the loss of chewing, which ensues immediately upon the extraction of that tooth. It's just, and the crown there looks really good in terms of its potential for being a chewing tooth, as long as we can get the root canal done. It's another reason. My lawn looks fantastic. I wanted to mention that about some other topic, specifically my lawn. It looks, I mean, even though I had weeds that were waist high, when I cut them all down, and the sumac trees that were growing up there, the saplings, cutting them all down with the lawnmower, the lawn looks like it's the best condition it's ever been in. It looks phenomenal, even though there was a patch of weeds, which was, you know, it certainly didn't encompass the whole lawn, but it was very, very sizable, and it looked like the lawn was unrecoverable almost. But no, cutting them down, and the lawn looks as good as it's ever looked. So I just need to try and get out. But I don't have the strength. That's the thing. It's a real struggle to get started. Once I get started working on something, I can probably continue working on it. But I have all this I don't know if it's lightheadedness or cloudiness in my head. And I have slight headache. And I have the tooth also bothering me a little bit more. And I, you know, this problem is getting worse. It's not getting better. Taking painkillers is not the answer to a root canal problem. It's to do the root canal, I believe. It's the only way to do that and do it before it gets worse. We can't necessarily detect the infection except on the x-ray, but it may well be detectable on the x-ray. So we keep on seeing the problem progress and progress, and more it looks like it's the canal of that root, the root of that tooth that needs a root canal, number 3-6, that is. The back tooth, in my case, on the lower left side of my foot. This is a mirror image, this camera. So it's just about the end of our study. No, it was the end of our study a while ago, but the end of our video is arriving. The Beyer MC740N multi-pattern studio microphone with the setting on Omni is what has been providing the audio for this video. And it's now time, August 4th, 2023, 1940 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you. Please enjoy your day, if you will. And may we now say goodbye for the day here. And on my behalf, this is Willie, and this is Moppy saying bye for now.